we have an 8-year period to produce a certain number of housing units. Our allocation of housing units for the city of Santa Barbara in that 8-year period is 4,100 units, and so far we have produced over 1,000, and we are halfway through that 8-year period. So just a note of clarification, we produced 350 new units last year, but we also count the 3 prior years in terms of meeting that total of 4,100. The state does have the ability to enforce that, and both recent and pending legislation would put even more of an onus on cities and counties to meet their regional housing needs allocation, number of units that needs to be produced in an 8-year period. But the city is actually producing quite a bit more housing than we have historically. So we do believe that we have programs in place to meet the intent of the state's goals and still balance that with really good quality design and careful planning.
Does the region's slow growth mentality create a barrier to meeting the mandate, and what can be done to address the concerns of the residents?
Okay. Sure. We have a history in the city of Santa Barbara of wanting to very carefully plan and grow. And we haven't seen a lot of housing produced, especially multi-unit housing produced in recent years, until very recently. So that can make it challenging, especially as the state is expecting more from cities and counties to produce more housing to meet the critical need that we have. I believe even more than the state is taking a stronger stance on the making sure that agencies produce housing even more than we could by all this pending legislation and recently passed laws that are really looking to minimize local control. So if we continue as a city to not produce housing to meet the expectations of the state, I believe that the legislators will continue to pass legislation that just strips us of having really any local authority and would have much more mandates put on us. So it's our responsibility to respond.
Yeah, I think one bill in particular is the bill sponsored by State Senator Scott Wiener, SB 50. Basically, it would allow higher densities along transit corridors. If that were to pass, what impact would it have on Santa Barbara?
That's a good question. There was a similar bill passed, SB 35, in the 2017 housing package that streamlined the approval process for certain multi-unit housing projects. This one, Senate Bill 50, really adds quite a bit more limitations on local control and could potentially have a huge effect on Santa Barbara if the buildings were allowed to exceed our height limit or our existing height limits for some of our zones. In a prior bill that did not pass, there was talk of allowing certain buildings to go up to 80 feet. And our height limits in Santa Barbara are 45 to 60 feet. So that could have a really noticeable effect in the fabric of our community that has a variety of building heights, but we carefully plan where those go. And if we aren't allowed to do that anymore, it could significantly change the look and feel of Santa Barbara.
Considering the geography of the region and opposition to sprawl, there is a scarcity of land to build new housing. How much development can the city accommodate with infill growth, taking into account those height restrictions?
Right. So every 8 years when we need to update our housing element, we take a survey of the community and look at land that is either vacant or underdeveloped and could potentially accommodate more housing. And we were able to show the state that we have enough land in current zoning districts that could potentially allow an additional 6,000 housing units over an 8-year period. So we were able to show that when we were allocated the production number of 4,100 units over an 8-year period, we could show we have potentially the land and the zoning to do that, but we can't mandate that developers come to town and actually provide the housing. So we're working now on trying to provide more incentives to produce the type of housing on some of these underutilized properties.
Accessory dwellings or granny flats are smaller units added onto a single family home or larger unit. Are they a more effective way to address the housing shortage than building a new project from scratch?
I believe it's another way to produce more housing, and we have seen a lot of those in Santa Barbara. We've permitted a couple hundred so far since the legislation passed in early 2017. So I think it's you need a mix, though. So the benefits of accessory dwelling units is that if they're done right, you can tuck in behind a house, and you may not notice or really affect the fabric of a single-family neighborhood, and you can obviously get potentially some more people housing units. That's great, and that serves an important role. But we also need more rental housing and more multi-unit developments at higher densities in the right areas of town where you're closer to jobs and transit and parks and where you might not need a car, because providing the parking spaces to go along with that higher density housing is really expensive and limits how many units you can get on the site. So I think it's fine that we take a multi-pronged approach and try to tuck in housing wherever we can.
How effective has the average unit size density or AUD incentive program been?
It's been very effective in incentivizing rental housing, and that was purposeful. That was one of the major objectives, because prior to the average unit size density program, we were almost solely seeing large luxury condominiums. And so those were ownership condominiums sold at very high prices, and not the type of housing that we really needed downtown. So one of the major objectives of the AUD program was to incentivize rental housing, and we hadn't seen large apartment developments since the 1970s, but now we've seen several hundred units proposed. So in that sense, it's been very successful. We are seeing more rental housing being built. And there are various opinions about whether or not that housing is affordable to the population that we were hoping it would target. So we're working on some amendments to the program, one of which would be to require a certain percent of the units be price restricted, so that the rent is actually restricted to a certain household income level, so we can provide some rental housing units for moderate income households, rather than everything being completely left to the market to determine the rental price.
So are you talking in particular of set-asides that require that a certain number of units be affordable? And how significant are those set-asides?
Sure, yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's called inclusionary housing, and we have that ordinance in place for ownership units. So whether it's a new housing subdivision or condominium development, there's a requirement that 10% of the units be set aside. And that's similarly what we're considering for rental units. At least 10% would be, if passed through City Council, would be set aside at an affordable rental rate.
I would like to thank Renee Brook for talking with us. With KCSB News, this is Robert Stark.